You guys can turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I was thinking of the stewardship and Lord's Supper meditation, both of those today. Just really considering, you know, there's a part of what Mike was saying that, I get concerned when a guy starts talking about being able to sing, about present positive delusional possibility, so I guess I'm going to leave it up to others whether or not it was good that you put the mic on or not. But, and then I was thinking about what, in tying that in with what Dave said, and actually Mike, all of yours, the reality of it is, guys, like, we each one of us is going to give an account before Jesus. And, the scripture says what you sow is what you reap. So the sooner you start sowing good, like, the sooner you're going to start reaping good, right? But, and so time's an interesting thing in this life. Over time, time heals a lot of things. Time changes a lot of things. But there is only, time does not change our past, what we did to God. There's only one thing that can change that, and that's the blood of Christ. That's His sacrifice. And that's the renewing of the Holy Spirit. I was actually interesting discussion recently. People who don't believe that the Holy Spirit does anything for the Christian. Like, there's really no help that He provides the Christian. Well, I don't know why you'd want to believe that, first of all. But I'm thankful one of the things the Holy Spirit does for us is renews us. To be able to stand holy and blameless before God today because of the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And so today, hey, let's let you know the Lord's Supper. Thankful for what Christ has done for us. Aren't you thankful for that? Okay. We can stand in the presence of God because of Jesus Christ. Thankful for the Holy Spirit who renews us. And so today, to be able to live our lives fully for Christ. Just, and it's not present positive delusional if we're being honest about sowing what God wants us to sow today, our mind is set on the Spirit, and we realize in reality, like, Christ paid the price for our sins. If you're outside of Christ, you can't hype yourself into that. You can try, but there's going to be that awakening. I think you know anyways, but there's going to be that awakening on that final day. But if you're in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Amen? All right. So Romans 13 is where we've been, what I've been preaching through. And there's the summation of where I've kind of left off of Romans 13 is that love does no wrong to his neighbor. Love is the fulfillment of the law. So 1 Corinthians 13, we've looked at a little bit of a breakdown here on some teaching, scriptural teaching about love. Let's read verses 1 through 8, 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So we better be spiritual singers, right? You have the most beautiful singing voice in the world. If you don't have love, it sounds like clang, clang. Okay? So I'm glad Mike talked about the spiritual, in a spiritual sense. That's good. Okay, verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Just a side note, I find it interesting that what the world calls charity is usually giving. Okay? Giving to other people, charity. The King James uses charity for love, right? So, guys, you can give and it not be charitable in the strict definition of the word. That's what he just said. Like, you can give, but if it's not from love, it doesn't count in the eyes of God. All right, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your patience with us, your kindness towards us. We could go through this list, Lord, and every one of these things you have demonstrated and continue to demonstrate toward us, your people. We're thankful for your word that reminds us of who we are, as was talked so great about this morning, who we are in Christ Jesus. We're thankful for your Spirit who empowers us to overcome the flesh, who, Lord, helps us to be able to really be like you, that does a transforming work within us as we commit to look into your word. We're thankful for the church, those who build us up and encourage us and help us on the road to heaven. And Lord, we're thankful for the opportunities within the church to learn real love in a practical sense. We're just thankful, Lord, that everything in our lives here really is perfectly designed to help us, our inner man, be prepared for that body of glory. Lord, we're just thankful for the process. We enjoy it. We're thankful that we get to work side by side and live together with those who have the same precious faith. Lord, I ask you to be with me today as I preach your word, and that we would, each of us, consider what it means that love is not provoked. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, one of the things I've found, man, it is easy to be a hearer, but not a doer. I mean, maybe I shouldn't have said easy, because there's some people who don't listen at all. Like, they don't even hear. Like, they fall asleep in all the messages, right? Just in case, I haven't seen anybody yet, but just in case any of you were thinking about it. Okay? But for the most part, it's easy to be a hearer. It's easy to hear the Word of God and have it go in and back out. You know, maybe even you've, there's been times in my life that I've, certain things I've read, even there was a point in time in my life in the Bible where I'd read for a while and then I'd get done and I'd be like, what did I just read? Because like my mind was somewhere. So my words were reading it, but my mind was elsewhere. I didn't pick it up. So, you know, it's easy to be a hearer, but being a doer of the word, that's what God wants from us. And that's a little more difficult. I think it's even easy to go from hearing to talking. Okay, I hear this stuff. I say the right stuff. You know, in general. I can do the chants of the team. You know, but to walk the walk, it's easy to talk the talk, but walking the walk is, that's where really this is real in our lives. And so God wants us to be doers, obviously. He wants us to walk in love. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3. I am thankful. You know, the scripture does this beautiful job of building us up, but also like keeping us honest. Like, where are you really at? You know, and so first, I'm appreciative of things like this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Like, let's back it up what we say, right? So we can come here together, the first day of the week, everybody's in the right attitude, hopefully, in the right frame of mind. We come here, we take the Lord's Supper, we encourage the brethren, and we're loving to each other, I hope. And then we walk out the door, but still, if it doesn't continue on from there, that would, we could say, would be in word or with tongue. God wants us to love with indeed and truth. You know, James reminds us, hey, faith without works, like, it's impossible to please God. Like, faith produces works. And John reminds us it's impossible to love God and not love our brother. You know, it's interesting going through the Gospel of John. So my group, just a few verses we read this week, and I always ask for input first from the group after we read our verses, and Aiden had his hand up. I was like, hey, Aiden, what you got? And he said, It was something along the lines of, like, the way we love God is by loving other people. It came through in the Gospel of John, like Aiden had it clear as could be. Like, that's the way we really love God, is by loving other people. 1 John, he hammers on that, doesn't he? So God wants us to walk the walk, to love our brother. We've talked about the connection between the great commandments. You know, Jesus says, love the Lord your God, and then he says another's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we've talked about a lot of things on love from 1 Corinthians 13. And it is comprehensive. All these things continues to go. But today is love is not provoked. I remember, so some of you guys know my brother Matt pretty well. And he is a great guy. And sometimes I feel bad that I would show one side of him because he's so good for examples. But he is a super great guy. But if you know Matt, I think Jared Schaefer's a little bit like this too. If, they're buggy. Like they're gonna, you know, so Carrie always loves it when I come around because some of Matt's little picking on, poking, bugging, you know, stuff is directed towards me, and she gets a little break from that. So, you know, it's love, he's just that kind of guy. He's just fun, you know, which I do enjoy. But there are times, especially growing up, there were times that maybe, you know how boys are, they don't really know when it switches from being funny to, and probably Matt kind of enjoyed. So anyways, I just remember my dad telling my brother Matt and my brother Mark were going at it, and my dad figured out what's going on, and his solution, he said, Matt, don't bug. Mark, don't be bugged. I was like, it's a simple thing. But man, there's a lot of wisdom in that. In the body of Christ. Don't bug. Don't be bugged. Whichever one is applying to you right now, right? So, love doesn't bug. But love isn't easily bugged either. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Well, Serrano, I was like, is this Montana language? Or you've been here long enough. Okay? So you can ask yourself a question. Hey, how easily am I offended? How easily am I annoyed? I like that word, annoyed, right? How easily am I provoked? You know, how easy, if there is somebody, like there could possibly be this kind of person that like likes to push buttons, like how easy is it for them to find that button on me to push? You know, provoke you, and then step back and watch the show. Love is not provoked. And there are three areas in my life where I think, you know, this can creep in, and I'm going to assume there's some overlap here for you in your life. I think there's a few ways that being provoked shows up in my life. One is getting irritated. Okay, I'll talk about these a little bit. Another is getting angry. And a third is stressed out. Okay. So, love is not provoked. Love doesn't get irritated. Love doesn't get angry, and please understand a little bit, there is a righteous anger. I'm talking about in a general sense here, okay? Love does not get angry. Love does not, outburst of anger. Let's put it that way. And love doesn't get stressed out. So, when I think about irritation, like why do I get irritated about stuff? And I can blame it on other people all the time because there are things that they do that irritate you, right? Like, if, you know, you ever walked around with a pebble in your shoe or something, and after, you know, maybe you didn't even quite realize at first, but it creates some irritation, and after you have some lasting effects after that. Like, there was a real source of irritation there. But what I've found spiritually in my life, guys, irritation generally comes when people bug me. Oh, that person's bugging me. They're irritating me. It actually comes because I am allowing myself to look at other people with a critical eye. Like, love's not provoked. Love doesn't look at people in the wrong way. If you're looking at somebody with a critical eye, they're going to bug you. I don't think I have to go through the mental playlist for you. I assume you've been there. You know what I'm talking about. You start thinking about somebody in the negative things, and you start either talking about it or emphasizing in your mind, and pretty soon that person, like, you've had enough of them. You don't even want to be around them anymore. Doesn't the scripture warn us about that a lot? Let's Let's go to James chapter 5. So, I think, like, if you think negatively about people, and then if you put words to that, like, have you ever noticed the book of James, like, warns us about the tongue? Because the tongue, like, gives power to your thoughts. It accelerates them. It, like, drives them home. So, if you think negative thoughts about somebody, and then you share it with somebody else, like, what did that do? That just, like, really reinforced that negative thinking. So, you gotta be really careful about this. James chapter 5, verse 9 says, "Do not complain, brethren, against one another." We could leave it there. But then he doesn't end there. He says, "That you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door." Like, you want to complain about other people? The Lord could be keeping a list of some complaints he would have with you. Like, if that's the way you want to play the game, right? But my point today is love doesn't do that. Love is not critical towards others. Romans chapter 14, that we're going to get there shortly, I think. And we get to Romans 14. Like, that's what that chapter is about not judging your brother. You're not looking at things with a critical eye. It doesn't even, Romans 14 doesn't even say, there. Like, the scripture is plain about this, there are weak brethren. It's how are you supposed to handle and respond to weak brethren? If you're critical of them all the time, guess that, like, that's being judgmental of them. And the scripture actually says that there is one who's able to make us stand, right? So we believe that. I believe that. I'm going to have confidence. Like, when I get to the day of judgment, I'm not going to tell God that I deserve in for all these things. I'm going to say, can my attorney take over, please? And if my attorney, if you have the same attorney that I do, I'm going to trust that. You know, bottom line is, guys, we all work out our salvation at a personal level with fear and trembling, right? The scripture doesn't exhort me to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It exhorts me to work out mine. So, love of the brethren means we don't have to have a critical eye towards everybody all the time. And reinforcing that. And as a freebie, I'm going to tell you guys this. As parents, like, the absolute worst thing you can do is complain about people in the church to your children. You want to have a sure way of your kids growing up with a bad attitude towards the church and not wanting to be Christians, then complain about your brethren. Hey, there's things we all got to work through, and I know there's times that we're this work in progress, and people are bugging, and we're trying to work together and actually get close, and so sometimes people, they can be irritating, right? But love isn't provoked, love isn't irritated, and love doesn't go and spread that irritation, okay, towards those around us. Like, I want my kids to make it to heaven, and you know what? I don't care what the issues are in the church, they are nothing compared to the issues in the world. So I want my kids to see the church the way God does. He says, like, this is the treasure hidden in the field. He says, this is the pearl of great price. I want my kids to see the church for what it is. It is beautiful. It is the kingdom that endures forever. It is a kingdom that consists of love and righteousness and peace, right? Like, that's what this kingdom is. And sometimes, yeah, there's a work in progress, and sometimes there's little things that come up that we gotta work through, but your kids do not have the maturity to hear you talking about that even as a husband and wife. If there's things you need to talk through, and be careful, like, don't use that as an excuse. Oh yeah, well, I'm gonna go complain about everybody because my kids aren't around. You understand what I'm saying. Okay? Like, love does not do that. Love's not provoked. You know, I think, I'll just say this, I have plenty of idiosyncrasies. Okay? Mike W. knows some of my speaking ones, and I'm sure you do too. If you didn't pick up on it the first time, from the dramatized version. Okay? Hey, I have plenty of idiosyncrasies, and in my life I do too. Like, there's stuff that, I remember Nicole Carson saying, like, I'll be sitting there talking to her, and we'll be having this conversation, all of a sudden, like, my eyes, like, and I go into another planet. And I was like, what? And then I start, I do that. Hey, thank you for loving me anyways. Like, we all have things that You know, and if this one eye, that's not something I can control, by the way, this right eye, and I'm looking at the light, and it just like, hey, I was born that way, all right? I didn't wear the patch long enough to get it fixed, or whatever. Hey, we all have little idiosyncrasies about us. We can't allow ourselves to be irritated by those things. So, this to me, is just simple. I pray for a good attitude towards you. We come into the assembly of the saints, guys. Shouldn't our attitude be good towards the church? Shouldn't our attitude be good towards the brethren in the church? So, you know, sometimes I have to pray that I can like myself. So I don't blame you guys if you have to pray that you can like me. Like, that's understandable. Hey, I have to do that for myself sometimes. Love isn't provoked. Love is willing to pray for each other in that way. You know, doesn't Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 say something pretty important? Like, where's our mind going to live? On things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and et cetera, et cetera. Like, when anything that's good, like, that's where our mind is going to live. If your mind lives there, what's it take to get irritated? A lot. Because your mind is focusing on that which is good. You know, love doesn't harbor resentment. Love doesn't question the spiritual standing of a brother or sister. I'm not going to go into all this morning, but if you think about it, Matthew chapter 18, Jesus gives us some very clear instructions. If a brother sins, like, how do we solve that? Step one is go talk about him. No. Wait, what was step one? Go talk to them. Sometimes we do need to go talk to a brother or sister. But most of the time, I've even found, I don't even have to go talk to them. I can go just ask the Lord. Lord, you forgive them. 1 John chapter 5. I'll just show you this really quickly. And please understand, there's a difference in what the Scripture says and what I'm trying to communicate here than sweeping things under the rug. Like stuff. Like, you got to deal with stuff. But for me, most of the time, I can deal with stuff with somebody else. Let's just step back a second. If your brother sins, go and reprove him in private, right? If he listens to you, you've won your brother. But what if, what I'm saying is, a lot of times even maybe it's my perspective on my brother or sister. And if I'm honest about it, it's like they didn't really do anything that bad. It's, I was provoked. I was irritated. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 16. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask. And God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I did not say that he should make requests for this. In other words, understand, recognize that everybody is on this journey where they're growing in Christ. And along the way, they're going to make some mistakes. But if they're moving the right direction, like, overlook some of those mistakes. Just take it to the Lord and ask Him to forgive them. That's not sweeping it under the rug, and it's not harboring resentment. It's just taking it to the Lord, asking Him, and then you move on. You have a great attitude towards your brother or sister. Love is not provoked. Amen? Hey, love doesn't get angry. Love doesn't... You guys know I've preached to myself about this. Anger is something I've had to work on. But, you know, sometimes people get angry over the dumbest stuff. If we think about it, it really... Well, I sometimes... One of my favorite examples is like Balaam arguing with the donkey. Like, how out of it do you have... Like, how far gone down your mind do you have to be carrying on this conversation and arguing back and forth with a donkey? But, like, let's... You don't have to think very far how many of us have done that. Love doesn't get angry. Love doesn't argue over and get angry over dumb stuff. You know, some people come home, sometimes guys, I think, come home and the house isn't clean enough and they're mad and everybody's going to take... Let's be honest, it's not about the house being clean enough. You had a bad day at work or whatever and you find a reason to come in and get mad at other people. Love doesn't do that. I can't find something. I can't find my keys. It's somebody else's fault. Somebody did something with my keys. I'm sure of it. You know, half the time it was somebody else. Half the time it was me. I can't remember. But, it's one thing to try to get help to find your keys. It's another thing to get angry. Love doesn't get angry. You understand what I'm saying? Like, love's not provoked. So, I was thinking about this in my life. You know, One of my favorite verses from Proverbs is that, you know, about basically somebody who controls his spirit. Like, he's mighty. He's like somebody who's able to capture a city, right? We want to be in position, guys, to be able to help other people. And so love puts themselves in a position to help other people. I'm going to say this right now. Bottom line, if there's nothing else you get out of this today, if you love God and you love other people, you will grow in your spiritual life so that you can do these things. It's one thing to say love's not provoked, but man, I get irritated at everything. How's that? I can't just necessarily like shut it off today. I can start today. I can work on it today. And next time I get irritated, I can realize I have some work to do. But love is willing to change myself so that I can do these things that love does. Does that make sense? Like, love's willing to make changes in my own life for the benefit of other people. Ultimately, for the benefit of my Heavenly Father. So, you know, anger, I've thought about, like, where does anger come from? And in my life, I just think anger came from, there's things that I would like stuff to go a certain way, and it doesn't go a certain way, and trying to control things that are beyond my control. Love doesn't worry about that. Love, if we love God, doesn't that mean we trust God? Like, those things go together, love and trust, right? So if we trust God, I don't have time, I'm looking at the time here. You guys know I've hit it before. 1 Peter chapter 2, like Jesus kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. He goes into husband and wife relationships in chapter 3. He talks about governments. He talks about slavery. Like, all in this context. And it comes down to what I'm saying is, how are we able to actually do these things that love does? Because of our love for God. And because of our love for God, we've trusted in God. We've put ourselves in a position. We've grown spiritually. And hey, wherever you are on this, like, if you're not there yet, you're growing in love. So let's be working on this. But this is what it looks like played out. Love is not provoked. And maybe a last one. Love doesn't get stressed out. By nature, I'm one of those guys that's like very, Julie would say, I'm all or nothing sort of person. And I think that's fair to say. So I'm like high energy, or like dead on the couch, like one or the other. And so high energy, and I'm like, hey guys, you know, like, we gotta leave for assembly, which, by the way, we do need to be on time. So I'm not trying to put stress into you guys' lives, but being on time is very helpful, okay, to the body. So, but like, I remember my mom, pick on my mom, she's in heaven now, she's in paradise. Man, my mom would get stressed out about some things, and one of those things was being late. And I remember getting to the car on Sunday morning, like, I hate to be late! You know, and it's like, some of you might not believe this, because I'm not super early, but I did carry some of that with me. So, you know, like, and I have a couple daughters, and they have to change their clothes one more time. For what? Like, we're late! Let's go! You know, come on! But love doesn't get stressed out, right? Love can communicate without being stressed. So, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. I just close with a couple verses here. And does it take some growth in Christ to be able to do some of these things? It really does. You know, and so we are growing. I look back as a parent and I think, man, if I could start all over again as a parent, you guys have new kids, great, go for it. But, you know, there's a few things in my life, like, I look back and it's like, there's a couple things I would have done differently. And if I knew, the problem is, you don't know. You can't, like, there's, in some ways, you can't know till you do. And that sometimes in Christianity too, you look back, there's some things like, if you look back, there's a few things I would have done different. Well, you can't. Okay? But it took that process maybe to get to where you know what you need to know and understand what you understand. And so, you know, and recognizing that, first of all, about ourselves allows us to have the image, like Mike was talking about, of who we are in Christ. But also then sharing that with our brethren, right? And recognizing any person along the way, like, there's a process. And so I like this verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Guys, you know when I get provoked, when I take stuff personal. Love doesn't have to take stuff. Love can look and say, you know what? This person's growing in Christ. They made a mistake. Big deal. How many have I made? Love's not provoked. And so you're able to overlook somebody else's faults or perceived faults and move on. You know, instead of allowing frustration to build, you know, love prays. Dr. Dobson was talking about, you know, anxiety. And we can get anxious about things. There's real stuff that happens. Like yesterday, I'll spare you the details, but they're just discouraging things. Like you think something's solved, you got this, and then it's like, wow. Like that again? And it doesn't matter if it's something spiritual, something physical that requires money, whatever it is. And those things can, like, but you know what? What are you going to do about it? Take it to the Lord. Doesn't the scripture say cast all your anxiety on Him? Because He cares for you. I'll just say this for me, and I think it's true for everybody. If I get provoked, if I allow people to bug me, it's because I'm not quite right in here. Like, not perfect. If I'm right completely with the Lord in here, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. I'm not provoked. Love is not provoked. So I want to encourage you guys. You know, this is agape love. It's sacrificial. It's real. In real things, there's no shortcutting it. Like, we just got to go through the process. So I just encourage you, like, this is what love looks like. You know, if we were to continually, negative thoughts, when you have a negative thought about a brother or sister in Christ, what if you took that and replaced it with a positive thought? That seems scriptural to me. My dad used to have something in our family sometimes, 90 days of constant praise. I don't think we ever made it 90 days. But the idea is, like, no complaining about anybody for 90 days. And something I got from the Love Dare book. You know, write down something that bugs you about your spouse. So I'm just going to say, you know, your brother or sister in Christ, if there's somebody that's just really bugging, write down three things that bug you about them. And then write down three things that you appreciate about them. And take the stuff that bugs you about them and burn it. Because you know what? Christ paid the price for their sins. It is, so much of this is not about the other person. When it says love is not provoked, it's not about the other person, it's about you. And so love, this is what love does. We trust in God. So He watches out for our interests. Because God's going to take care of you. Have you read this book? Like, how many examples does God put in here to show us, even when it doesn't look like it in the moment, man, the story as it plays out, like, God always takes care of His people. Love isn't provoked. So, you know, we cast all our anxieties upon the Lord. Wouldn't that keep us from getting provoked by other people? This is what love does. So, guys, we have the spirit of love within us, amen? So this is what we do. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise You for the perfect love that You have demonstrated toward us. I'm thankful, Lord, in my life as a Christian that You haven't gotten irritated with me and just zapped me. Because many times, Lord, You could have. So, Lord, You've never made any mistakes. You can't even say, well, I've done this, I've done so, I'll be... No, You are perfect, righteous, holy God, and yet You are merciful. So how much more, Lord, do I have reason to be? I pray, Father, for just as a congregation, that we would continue to grow in love. That if there's things in our lives individually where we find ourselves irritated or stressed out, that we would understand that love It's not love and it's not loving, and so we need to come back and grow in love. Father, we want to be like you in every respect. We want people to see you in us in every situation. So strengthen us, Lord, through your Spirit. We're thankful. I'm thankful for the renewing of your Spirit. That no matter what yesterday was, today is a day that I can do this for you. You're so thankful. Lord, just what a privilege it is to be a part of your kingdom. What a beautiful thing it is to be a part of your church and a part of this congregation in Billings. I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in our lives, to strengthen us internally, and help us to keep making an impact and reaching out to others. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.